So Mark's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 53, and we are going to read down as far as chapter 7 and verse 23. So I encourage you to follow along as we go. So Mark chapter 6, verse 53. This is speaking about Jesus and his disciples. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried those who were ill on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed those who were ill in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered round Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." And he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you've handed down, and you do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." I want to encourage you to keep that open as we spend some time looking at it together. When I was younger, I used to play football, used to play soccer, and the field that I used to play in very often was more dirt than grass, and especially in the winter time when it had been raining, it was more dirt than grass. And so when I came home and was covered in dirt on my football boots and on my shorts and on my t-shirt, as you can imagine, I was encouraged to keep my distance from the kitchen floor and other parts of the house that were clean. And if I wanted to come in or to come close, I needed to be clean. So the dirt meant I had to keep my distance, and being clean was what would enable me to get close. Now, that's the kind of imagery that the Bible uses, not to talk about our relationship with the kitchen floor, but our relationship with God. And so as we were reading in Isaiah earlier, when Isaiah is in the presence of God and he says, "Holy, holy, holy God," and he realizes who God is, his response to who God is, "Woe to me, I am a man of unclean lips." Now, it wasn't that he needed to wash his face, but he recognized that he said things that he shouldn't say, and he didn't say the things that he should say. He's a man of unclean lips. Or you think of Peter, the apostle, and when he encounters Jesus, he says, "Depart from me, Lord. Keep your distance from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." And so the reality is that in the presence of God, these men are very aware of the dirt. They're very aware of the sin in their lives. And dirt means distance. In order to be close, we need to be clean. And so it begs a question: how do I get clean enough to come close to God? How do I get clean enough to come close to God? That's the question we're going to be thinking about this morning. And this kind of language is used all the way through this passage. So you'll see in verse 2, for example, this word defiled at the end of the verse, that is unwashed. You'll see in verse 3 the idea of washing. You'll see in verse 4 the idea of washing over and over again, even down to the end in verse 23 where that word defiled is there again. So we're going to ask the question, how do we get clean enough to get close to God? Now, the first way that we see people trying to get clean enough to get close to God is the Pharisees in verse 1. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered round Jesus. Now, you'll remember that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were these religious leaders. They were religious leaders, and they loved to be seen praying in front of everybody, big long prayers. They loved to be seen talking about God. They loved to be seen reading about God. They loved to be telling people about God because it made them feel superior and everybody else inferior. And the Pharisees come to Jesus and they have a problem. They've come all the way from Jerusalem and they have a problem in verse 2. They saw some of Jesus' disciples eating food with hands that were defiled. That is unwashed. And the problem they have is not so much a hygiene problem. So it's not that they're concerned that the disciples are going to catch COVID-19 or some other disease off each other or off others. No, it's more of a ceremonial problem. So how we are relating to God type of problem. The word defiled there kind of gives a sense of that. You see, the Pharisees thought that you could get contaminated just by being around people or objects that they considered to be defiled, from touching things in the marketplace even. And so that's why they wash in verse 4 after they come back from the marketplace. That was their view. And it's very clear that this is just a tradition that they did. This washing was a tradition of the elders. We see that in verse 3, holding to the tradition of the elders. We see it in verse 4, they observe many other traditions. In verse 5, they ask the question, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders? So this tradition wasn't something that God had asked them to do. This was something that they came up with themselves, and they thought, if I do this, I'll be clean before God, and then I can come close to God. And the reality is that this is the DIY approach, the do-it-yourself approach to being clean and coming close to God. It's the do-it-yourself approach. And they expected others to do it too. So in verse 5, they say to Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands? And you can see the little tinge of superiority there. We're doing it. Why aren't your guys doing it? And the sense of, well, we're a little bit higher, a little bit better, a little bit superior. That's the DIY approach. And do you know what Jesus' response to the DIY approach is? It's found in verse 6. He replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Isn't it interesting as Jesus responds to them? They had a problem with his disciples, but Jesus doesn't draw attention to the disciples. He doesn't mind whether they wash their hands or not. He draws attention to the Pharisees. It is Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, hypocrites. He says in verse 7, they worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. So this idea of worshiping in vain, it's like smoke. So when you see smoke, it looks substantial. It looks like there's something there. And then you put your hand through it and it's empty. There's nothing. And Jesus says, that's what your worship of me is like. That's what your worship of God is like. And so they may have a problem with Jesus' disciples, but he has a problem with them. He says to them, the DIY approach to making yourself clean, to try and get close to God, it actually distances you from God. Look at verse 6. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their hearts are distant from me. And what they do then in verse 8 is that you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. And he repeats it in verse 9. You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your traditions. And so as they take the do-it-yourself approach to being clean before God, to try to get close to God, Jesus says it's actually distancing them from God. And he gives an example of that in verse 10. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. So what's going on here? Well, the Pharisees encourage people to kind of set aside some money to give to God, to the work of the temple. Ring fence this money in your account. That's devoted to God now. And it looks good. Looks impressive. Looks holy. But Jesus says what's actually going on in their hearts is the only reason they're doing this is so that they don't have to honor their father or their mother by helping their father or mother. And so there's this disconnect, this hypocrisy here. They're trying to give this impression externally while what's going on in their hearts is something very, very different. And he says there are many such things that you do in verse 13. Jesus says it's hypocrisy, the DIY approach to cleaning yourself up. I don't know if you remember a few years ago, Michael Cawley, he's the head of Bord Fáilte, which is the Irish Tourist Board. He and many other people were encouraging us all to not go abroad for our holidays, so stay in Ireland for our holidays because of COVID-19. We were trying to keep a lid on it, and so we didn't want people bringing COVID-19 back into the country. So stay at home for your holidays. What did Michael Cawley do? He went to Italy on his holidays. And so he was telling us to do one thing, and then he did something entirely different himself. He really wanted that Italian holiday in his heart. Now, he recognized this himself, and he resigned as a result of this. The disconnect, the difference, the hypocrisy of it. And it's easy, isn't it, to see it in other people? But the question is, do we see it in ourselves? It's easy to spot a kind of a man-made tradition in other people that's keeping them from God, but do we see it in ourselves? I was in a church years ago where it was just the tradition for guys to wear suits in church. And so if you were up the front or if you were taking up the offering or whatever, they were encouraged to wear suits. And you think, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is that right or wrong? And the crucial question is, you can't question somebody's motives, but the crucial question is, why was it being done? Why was it being done? Now, if it was the case that in somebody's mind, that by dressing up nicely and wearing a suit to come to church, if that in their mind meant, well, I'm cleaner now, I'm closer to God now, if that was the motive, then Jesus would say, there's a problem there. And of course, you can easily see how that would then lead to looking at others and saying, well, I don't know why they're not wearing a suit. I don't know why Jesus' disciples aren't washing his hands or washing their hands. Of course, if wearing a suit or dressing up on the way to church is a way to express thankfulness or joy or whatever, that's wonderful. But Jesus says we must be asking this question, why is it being done if we think that we are doing this and it's going to make us clean or close to God? He says the DIY approach doesn't work. And he says there are many such things that might be done in this way. You know, for me, I heard this quote recently. For me, I stand up here every Sunday morning and give a sermon, I preach, and the temptation is to think that this is what makes me good and right before God. If I do a good job, then great. But I heard this quote recently, the one who thinks his sermon makes him clean, makes him close to God, will die 1,000 deaths every Saturday night. If I think what I do on a Sunday morning is going to make me right before God, I'm going to die 1,000 deaths because the do-it-yourself approach does not work. It only distances us further from God, and Jesus wants us to see that very clearly. And so I encourage each of us to think how we are approaching God in this way, or tempted to. So that's not the way to get clean and to come close to God. So what is the way? Well, Jesus shows us the problem. He says in verse 15, it's not what's outside a person that can defile them by going into them. So having dirty hands may make you sick, but they're not going to make you distant from God. Eating particular foods you may not be interested in, but it's not going to make you unclean before God. And Jesus explains, of course, in verse 18, are you so dull? He asked his disciples, don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, it doesn't go into their soul, it doesn't go into their mind or their will. It goes into their stomach and then out of the body. And so Jesus says, look, your stomach will deal with these things. You're not going to touch your heart. The problem, he says, is on the inside. The problem is on the inside. In verse 15, at the end of the verse, rather it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. It's what comes out of a person that defiles them. And he goes on to outline what that is like. In verse 20, what comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within. Out of a person's heart that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. And isn't it interesting that as Jesus responds to this situation with the Pharisees, he doesn't say it's what's in the heart of a Pharisee that defiles them. He says it's what's in the heart of a person. He broadens it out. He wants us all to reflect on this. He wants us to realize that in verse 21 and 22, he's holding a mirror up to us. And as somebody mentioned to me during the week, when we look at this list, do we see ourselves here? Do we see ourselves here? Do we realize that this is describing what's going on in our hearts? And if we don't, do you know what that's like? That's like the arrogance that Jesus speaks about in verse 22, the folly that Jesus speaks about. He's describing our hearts. And the reality is, because this is what's going on in our hearts, that it distances us from God, humanly speaking. And so we want to hide from him. The trust is broken. And you know, people recognize this. We know this intuitively. I was watching a movie a children's movie made quite recently, and there was the parents and a couple of kids, a son and a daughter. The son and the daughter were chatting to each other, and the son, the younger son, said to the teenage daughter, "It's cool to see that you and Dad are friends again." And the teenage daughter replies, "I was just telling Dad what he wanted to hear. I didn't mean a word of that. I just want to get my future back, and I just want to get away from this family forever." And it was all caught on camera. Somebody had been videoing with their phones. And later on, the dad sees this. And immediately the daughter says, "I'm sorry." She realized immediately that what she had said had brought distance and distrust in the relationship. We realize that at a human level, and it's so much more true when it comes to our relationship with God. And you think, what can we do to clean ourselves up? And isn't it interesting that Jesus doesn't say, okay, what you need to do now is try really hard to keep God's law. You need to try really hard to honor your father and mother and so on. He doesn't say that because he knows we cannot do it under our own strength. He says, you think washing your hands is going to solve this problem? Not at all. If you remember your school years, you might remember Macbeth and Lady Macbeth. She and her husband commit this murder, have this murder arranged. And afterwards, she's up in the night, tormented by what she has done. She's had the king murdered, and she's trying to scrub her hands. And she's not trying to scrub dirt or blood off her hands. What she's trying to scrub is the guilt off her hands, as she realizes what she has done is wrong. And she can't get rid of it. She says, "This, all the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this little hand. What's done cannot be undone." And Jesus says, it's what's going on in a person's heart that defiles them, that makes them distant from God. And you wonder, well, where is our hope? What hope have we? If we can't take the DIY approach, what hope have we? Well, we've already seen the answer to this. If you look at verse 4, Mark uses this word marketplace. So in verse 4, Mark uses the word marketplace, and this is a pretty rare word. So this is only the second time Mark has used this word. And the first time Mark used this word is just back over the page in verse 56. You'll see it there again. Marketplaces. And he uses this rare word in both stories deliberately so that we will connect the two stories. So if I'm going to tell you two stories back to back, and I'm going to use a rare word in both of them, I'm going to talk about a big blue chimpanzee. Immediately you realize that if I've used this rare word in both stories, the two stories are connected in some way. And Mark wants us to connect these two stories of how the Pharisees wash themselves after they come from the marketplace because they think they have been defiled. And when Jesus goes to the marketplace, what happens? He is touching people and they are touching him. Look at chapter 6 in verse 56. They placed those who were ill in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Can you see what's going on there? The Pharisees were really worried that by going to the marketplace among these unclean people, they would be defiled and they had to wash themselves afterwards. When Jesus goes to the marketplace, he intentionally touches and is touched by people, and it brings not uncleanness or sickness, it brings healing and cleansing. There's this reversal going on for those who get close to Jesus, that he cleanses them. And so it's not that we are now pushing a river back up a hill. It's that we are allowing the river to wash over us and cleanse us. What does it mean that Jesus would cleanse us? Well, we've seen it all the way through Mark's gospel. From the very start, when there is this paralyzed man and Jesus meets him and people say to him, will you heal him, please? And Jesus says, son, your sins are forgiven. And what they realize from the start is that Jesus is here not just to bring physical healing, as the kingdom of God is at hand and one day will heal everybody who trusts in him physically, but is here to bring spiritual cleansing, forgiveness before God, all our sins dealt with, past, present, and future, removal of guilt before God, the death we deserve is taken away by Jesus' touch in our lives. For those who reach out to him, he makes us clean. He deals with this heart problem. He forgives us for all of the things that we see in verses 21 and 22 of chapter 7. All those things that are bubbling away in our hearts, he forgives us for them because he has taken them to the cross. And so we don't need to hide from him. We can come confidently into his presence. And not only does he cleanse us in the sense of forgiving us all of our sin, he also cleanses us in the sense of changing our hearts, changing our motives. As he works in our lives, once we wanted to live in one particular way, and now we are starting to want to live differently. And he does that, and he is committed to that. That he who began this good work in you will bring it to completion. And even though we struggle and fight and battle against what's going on in our hearts because we want to live differently now, and even though sometimes we are living with the consequences of the things that we have done wrong in our relationships and so on, we can be sure that one day even those things will be worked out for our good, because Jesus is the one who brings cleansing and healing. How can we be clean enough to get close to this holy, holy, holy God? We can't do it ourselves. We need Jesus to do it for us. And for those who trust him, he has done it. He brings you into the presence of God, never to be turned out. And he is doing it. He is changing your heart, changing your desires, making them more like his. He's the only one who can make us clean, and the only one who can bring us close to God. And the amazing thing is, this is what he has done for us on the cross. One of these men who were with Jesus at that time wrote this a little bit later on. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us, cleanses us from all sin, and it is because of that that we can be close to God. Let's take a moment to pray and to respond to God with what we've been hearing. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would forgive us, Lord, for when we have tried to do what it takes to come into your presence, to clean up our act, to clean up ourselves. Lord, forgive us for thinking that we could manage this ourselves. Forgive us for when we do those things that we have come up with by ourselves. And we do those thinking, Lord, that they will make us acceptable to you. Lord, we have no idea of the depth of what's going on in our own hearts. Thank you that Jesus shines a light there, but he does so that he can heal us and cleanse us. And we praise you, Lord, that in him, Lord, we have confidence that this is exactly what he has done. This is exactly what he is doing for those who trust in him. Amen.